Hey, one of the things that we want people to experience here, whether it's their first time or whether they've been here many, many times, we want them to feel at home here. And while there are a number of different experiences that people can have, or there's a variety of different ways that they can describe their experience here, at the core, we want them to feel at home at Browns Ridge Church. Let's think about it. There's no place like home, is there? Thank you, Judy Garland and Wizard of Oz. There really is no place like home. What's true of home? Think about it. Home is where you're comfortable. It's where you can be yourself. It's where you're around your people. Home is a judgment-free zone. Home's a place where you don't have to act like somebody else. You don't have to put on a facade. You don't have to wear a mask. You can truly be you. And this is true whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're young or you're old. If you got roommates or if you live with family, home is a place where you can be yourself. And that's what we want to create every single week here at Brownsbridge. As we look at the environments and the experiences that we create all throughout this building, that's the lens through which we look. We want to create an experience that feels like home. And as we evaluate what we do, as we look at the different things that we offer for children and for students and adults, we're asking that question. How are people experiencing this? What are they experiencing when they walk through our doors each week? Because ultimately, we want people to feel at home at Brownsbridge Church. Now, the problem is that this is the opposite of what many people think of when they think of church. Home is the last word that they would use to describe church or faith or God or religion or anything that has to do with the Bible. You've experienced this if you've ever invited someone to church, or maybe they find out your church people, they invite you to something, you're like, hey, I can't really make it. We've got something going on Sunday morning. And it's like, well, what's going on Sunday morning? Well, we're going to church. And they're like, oh. You know, or your kid is invited to something, and hey, no, I'm sorry, my daughter can't make it to that. She's going to a Walking Wisely weekend. She's part of a middle school thing at our church. And it's like in that moment, you can feel that something changes in the conversation. Like all of a sudden they're like, oh, church people. You feel that awkwardness. For me, it ramps up about 2 to 3 times when people find out that I'm a pastor. They ask that all too common question, hey, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a pastor. And then, like, all of a sudden you can just see like the whole conversation just changes. And they've got like this internal dialogue running in their head the whole time they're talking. They're talking to me, but they're not really talking to me because they're like thinking in their head, like, well, this guy doesn't really look like a pastor. Should I hide my drink? You know, like maybe I'll tell him it's my wife. I'm holding it for my wife. That's a good story. Yeah, this isn't really mine. They're like, wait a second. How can he be a pastor? I saw him trick-or-treating with his kids last fall. You can't trick or treat and be a pastor. You know, they're thinking all these different things in their mind as they stand there and talk to me. And it feels strange to them. And again, you've experienced this when you've invited somebody or someone finds out that you're part of this place or that your kids are a part of this place. Several years ago, I was talking to a former neighbor now. He was a neighbor, lived there for several years. We were friends, and he asked me a question about work. And at the time, I was working with our group's staff here at Brownsbridge, and we were in the middle of our group launch season, and it's a really, really busy time for our group staff. We were working around the clock, and I was trying to explain this to him, and I mentioned, you know, small group, you know what a small group is? And he's like, you know, just kind of blank stare, and I was like, that's fine. I mean, normally when someone doesn't know what a small group is, I just kind of rewind the clock a little bit. I start talking about Sunday school because most people, you know, around here, they grew up in church. They know what Sunday school is. So I was like, well, you know what Sunday school is? And again, still just blank stare, like, mm-mm. And I'm thinking, wait a second. He doesn't know what Sunday school is. How did he become a fully functioning adult without the flannel graph and vacation Bible school and stale cookies and juice, you know? How does a person make it into adulthood without those things? If you're laughing, it's because you grew up in Sunday school. But you could tell, like, for him, this whole idea was foreign. And this is the challenge that we're facing in the world today. And not just in the world, but right here in our community. right in our own backyard, there are a growing number of people who experience that God feels distant. Faith seems irrelevant, and church is foreign. And this right here breaks my heart. It saddens me so much, and it also fires me up. I don't get passionate about many things like I get passionate about this idea right here. When people experience life this way, when they're going through their days and they're facing all the challenges that we all face in life, and this is the mindset at which they're facing it. As followers of Jesus, this should break our hearts because we've experienced God in some unique and personal ways in our lives to where he has felt close. We know what that feeling is like. We've seen faith transform our lives. We put our faith in Jesus, we begin to follow him. We've seen it be relevant in some really powerful ways. We've experienced the benefits of a church family, of having people to lean into, people to walk alongside, people who can encourage you when you need to be encouraged, people who can challenge you when you need to be challenged. So as followers of Jesus, this should break our hearts. But even if you're not a Christian today, even if you're not a Christian, you know that there's something wrong with this. I mean, it's somewhere deep in you, there's something philosophically wrong with these statements, that you may not believe in God, but if there is a God, he certainly shouldn't feel distant. And if there is a God, faith in him should be relevant. And the church that follows him should be a place where all people can belong. So whether you're a Christian or not, something in us knows there's something wrong with this. And as followers of Jesus, again, this breaks our heart because the sad thing is every minute that someone lives with this in their mind, they're missing out on the life they could experience. They're missing out on the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the love that could fill up our lives when we follow Jesus and when we put our faith in him. In the first century, this mindset was prevalent as well. Jesus' movement started at his resurrection. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses to his resurrection, and there was all these people in that region in the first century that were saying, hey, I saw this Jewish rabbi, this Jewish teacher. I saw him die, and then I saw him alive again a few days later. And you can't contain people when they have seen someone die and they've seen him come back to life. They have seen that with their own eyes. They've experienced it firsthand. And so this movement begins to grow. But Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. Jesus was Jewish. And so there was confusion for people in the first century that, hey, do we need to become Jewish first before we can become a Christian? You know, how does this thing exactly work? You add to that the relationship between Jews and Gentiles in the first century. It was not the kindest of relationships. Jews kind of looked down on Gentiles. They were seen as second-class citizens. They were seen as less than. And Gentiles were reminded of this anytime they went to the Temple Mount. This is a picture of what it would have looked like in the first century. Herod's Temple Mount, and this is the temple here in the center. And in the back of the temple, you see this large building here. That's the Holy of Holies was housed in there. That's where the presence of God was considered to dwell. That's where the action happened. And all throughout this center area, depending on what level of Israelite you were, you would have access to different areas here within the temple. And just to give you an idea of the size and scope of this Temple Mount, this center area is the size of 4 football fields. If you lined up 2 football fields and 2 football fields, that's about the size of that temple. So when you're watching the game tonight, you can think of the Temple Mount, I guess. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not going to be thinking about that, I can promise you. So again, all levels of Israelites had access to this central area. These large areas out here to the side were known as the Court of the Gentiles, or the Gentiles' Courtyard. And you know why they named it that? Because that's the only place a Gentile could go on the Temple Mount. They couldn't even gain access through the front door. Even the lowest of the low, in terms of rank of the Israelites, went further than the Gentiles. So for Gentiles in the first century, and again, a Gentile was anyone who was not a Jew. Anyone who was not Jewish in the first century was considered a Gentile. And for them in the first century, physically, they dealt with this every single day. In relationships, they dealt with this every single day. And for them, what they felt was that God felt distant. Faith seemed irrelevant. And church, what was known as church in that day and age, was foreign. God felt distant. They were like, hey, we're obviously on different sides here. There's a division between us and the Jewish people. And so if God's choosing sides, he's definitely not on our side. Faith was irrelevant. What's the point? We can't even gain access or experience much of what they've experienced. And church was foreign for them, literally foreign. They weren't even the right people group to experience what the Jewish people experienced in the first century. So as the gospel movement began to grow, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, as it began to spread and these churches began to pop up all over, there was confusion and this division kept rearing its head. Because the Jewish people felt like, oh, we can just say, hey, I'm in and we're good. But for Gentile people, they were saying, hey, wait a second, like what all do we have to do in order to partake in this? Because at this time, we feel pretty distant and we feel pretty foreign to what God is doing. So as the Apostle Paul traveled from city to city, as he started these churches and he wrote to them, he saw this mindset. And it was one of the things that actually made Paul more passionate than just about anything else he dealt with throughout Scripture. And he addresses on multiple occasions in the New Testament this division and this separation between Jew and Gentile. And he wanted to clear some things up. Ephesians 2, he says this. He says, therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision. Now, aren't you glad that we don't use these private labels to describe ourselves these days? Can you imagine calling someone this? But for the people that Paul is writing to, they would have known exactly what he was talking about. This was the insult that was used to describe them. This was the name that they got called when they were riding on the bus home from school every day. And so for them, the moment that Paul mentions this, they're reminded of that pain. In fact, they may have been called this that day. It symbolized the separation that they experienced. And Paul is trying to draw their mind back to when they faced this hostility, when they faced this discrimination. And he says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. Not only had the gospel movement not started, Jesus had not come yet, but he was saying, look, the promise of a Messiah was for the Jewish people. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, all the benefits, all the things that you might experience as a citizen. And you were foreigners to the covenants of the promises. The promises that God made to the Jewish people were for the Jewish people. So you were left on the outside looking in. And ultimately that left you without hope and without God in the world. Again, Paul's painting a picture of the distance that they felt. He's reminding them of those things, some of the things that they were even currently feeling as he wrote them. And unfortunate as it is, many of us still feel this today, or many of us may have felt this at some point in our lives. We've felt separate. We've felt separated. We've felt excluded. You may even feel this today, that you feel foreign. All of this feels foreign to you. And maybe for you, it's when you've felt that way, or maybe you currently feel that way, maybe it's because of a bad church experience. You grew up in a church that was overbearing. You grew up in a church that was judgmental. Or maybe you saw hypocrisy firsthand. You saw people doing one thing and saying another, and you just said to yourself, you know, I can't. If that's what Christianity is all about, I'm out. You removed yourself. You walked away. Maybe it was a bad Christian experience. You had a friend, someone close to you in life, maybe a coworker that claimed to be a Christian and, you know, talked about it on a regular basis, and then you saw them do certain things that just were confusing to you, or they treated you in a way that left you hurt, left you disappointed, and it left you ultimately in a place where you're going, hey, if this is really what God's about, then I don't know if I want any part of that. And if that's you today, if that's your experience, I just want to say I'm sorry. On behalf of all the people who stand on a stage like this, put a microphone on and teach, if there's ever been someone that stood up on a stage and leveraged this in a way that left you hurt, I'm sorry. And it may have left you feeling separated, excluded, as a foreigner to church, much like the Gentiles felt in the first century. But if you've ever felt that way, or if you currently feel that way, hold on, because there's good news coming. Paul continues. He says, but now, that was once. That was in the past. But now, we were talking about then, now we're talking about something new. We're talking about something new that has happened. He says this, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were far away, you felt excluded, you felt separated, and by the blood of Jesus, you have been brought near to God. And notice how it says, you have been brought near. That indicates that this was not something that they did. This wasn't something that they worked for. It wasn't like, hey, Gentiles, you finally started acting correctly, and so we're going to invite you into the fold. That wasn't it. They didn't earn their way into God's grace. It was something that God did on their behalf by the blood of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, something happened. It continues. He says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. There was all this hostility between you Gentiles and your Jewish friends, your Jewish counterparts. And Jesus has taken all of that away. In Christ, those things are now gone because of what he has done. Now, did they still exist in the first century? Absolutely. It continued to be a battle between the Jews and the Gentiles in that day. And this animosity and these barriers can still exist today. But when they do, when we cause walls to be built up, we are not living out what Christ has done for us in our lives. We're living in opposition to it when that happens. See, Jesus, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. Both of them needed reconciling. Jew and Gentile needed to be brought together. Everyone needed to be reconciled to God. And he reconciled both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came to preach peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, look at this, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. No one is too far away for access. Jesus paved the way for anyone to come to God. This is the gospel. And this is true not only for the people that Paul is writing to, but it's true for every human being that we come in contact with. It's true of every beating heart. It's true of every person that has breath in their lungs. We can all have access to God through Jesus and by the Spirit that's at work in us. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. And then Paul kind of wraps up this one part of his letter to the Ephesians. He says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Let me clear it up for you. You felt far away at one point. You are no longer far away. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. You can feel at home with God. See, when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, he took what was foreign and made it familiar. He took what was far away and he brought it near. He took strangers and he made them members of God's household. So here's the good news today. These statements, God feels distant, faith seems irrelevant, church is foreign, that so many people around us experience, so many of us maybe at one point have experienced these, nothing could be further from the truth. And if you experience this today, this is your mindset, this is not what God wants for you, because this is not what God wants for anyone. And Paul addressed this in the first century. This is something that the church has been battling for 2,000 years. And Paul wrote these letters and he cleared it up in the first century. But oh, how we can forget things. And that's why this church is here. The goal of this church is to flip these statements upside down. For the people in our community who feel this way, they've been treated this way, they may have every reason to have this mindset. They may have experiences that, if you're sitting here today, you may have had experiences that if you came up here on stage and shared them, most of us in the room would probably go, yeah, I can understand that. I'd probably feel the same way as well. But whatever the reason, anyone who experiences this in our community, we want them to experience a 180 from this way of thinking so that they don't miss out on the life that they could experience, that God is close. He is for you. He is with you. That faith is relevant. That faith can make such a difference in every area of our lives. As we follow him and we begin to take Jesus' teaching and integrate it into our decision making, when that becomes the lens through which we make choices in our lives, it changes everything. It changes our relationships, our marriage, our parenting. It changes how we manage our time, how we manage our finances, what we do from week to week, how we deal with adversity, how we deal with pain, how we deal with suffering. Faith changes all of that. Because as we put our faith in Jesus, all of a sudden, it changes our decision-making and we make better decisions and we have fewer regrets. We live more in alignment with what Jesus desires for our lives. And all of a sudden, everything we do in life takes on greater meaning because we're not doing it alone. There's a deeper purpose to everything in our lives. See, we want people to feel at home at Brownsbridge Church. Church feels like home. This is our desire. This is our desire. We want them to feel at home here. We want them to feel comfortable here, that when they walk in the door, they're with their people. They know it's a judgment-free zone. They can be themselves. They don't have to worry about acting a certain way or being a certain way. You truly can be yourself here. We want that for everyone in our community. We want you to feel at home at Brownsbridge Church. And the reason we want you to feel at home at Brownsbridge Church is so that you ultimately feel at home with God. So that you ultimately feel at home in your relationship with Jesus. So that you ultimately feel at home with the Spirit that lives inside of you. And that's the experience that the thousands of volunteers that it takes to pull off a Sunday morning here all across this building, the things that go on during the week, that's the experience every single volunteer wants you to have. We call them our home team. When you volunteer here, you're a part of the home team because you help people feel at home. In fact, if I could, I would get rid of the word volunteer altogether because I just feel like our folks do so much more than that. They're owners. They take initiative. In fact, last summer, a story continued that was really a great picture of what goes on in the lives of the volunteers in our church. Lacey is a small group leader in Inside Out. She's got senior girls, and when the girls were sophomores, a girl named Morgan joined the group who was in the fostering system. And so over the last couple years, they've journeyed with Morgan as she's dealt with different issues in the foster care system. And last summer, it says this, that during the walk this past summer, which is the trip that our high school students take to the beach, Morgan began to open up about some sensitive issues that were going on in her current foster home. My other two leaders and I talked about it and knew we could not let these things go unreported, so I had to call DFACS while on the walk. Before we even left the beach, we knew she would never be able to go back to that home, and she was once again getting displaced, and that she was going to have to move once again. It was the absolute worst day having to watch her leave camp. They arrived back on campus here at Brownsbridge. Her caseworker was here. She said it was the absolute worst day having to watch her leave camp with her caseworker, not knowing what would happen with her, as we were not allowed to communicate with her. She didn't have a phone. It says, for nights I couldn't sleep, and I was literally having dreams about taking her in and giving her a home. I felt like God kept saying that we needed to be involved in her life, but my husband and I didn't know exactly what that looked like. So she continued to follow up, and she found out eventually she was able to get permission to pick up Morgan from the group home that she was staying at and bring her here on Sunday afternoons for Inside Out, and then take her back to her house, and they would have dinner together, and then she would bring her back to the group home and drop her off. And Lacey began to feel more and more this tug from God of, hey, we need to do something more for her. I think we need to become her foster family. But she knew they had kids of their own, and her husband's working full time, didn't want to force that on him. But as the weeks and the months went by of them having dinner with Morgan at their house after Inside Out, God began to work on her husband's heart as well. And one night, right after taking her back to the group home, he looked at her and he said, okay, what do we need to do to keep her? Lacey said, I lost it, because in that moment, I knew what God had already placed in my heart. And clearly, he had placed it in my husband's heart too. It took another 3 months after approval, but on December 1st, we finally got to bring Morgan into our home for good. Just a couple months ago, they brought Morgan home for good. They literally made her feel at home. Now, that sounds like a 1 in 1,000 type story, but you would be so surprised. Their story is not uncommon here. Every week we hear back about members of our home team that go the extra mile, that anticipate a need. They find a way to elevate the experience. They take it personal in order to create a great experience for every single person that walks through our door. And every time that happens, we help people feel at home. And this is what Jesus came to do. This was his plan from the very beginning. It's what God the Father had in mind. It's what he sent Jesus to accomplish, that we would ultimately be in relationship with him. And the way we would describe it is, wow, I feel at home in my relationship with him. I feel known. I feel that God is close. I feel that he is for me and that he's with me. And if you're new here, that's what we want for you. You don't have to dive in. We're not expecting you to believe everything that we believe. The great thing about this church is you can belong here long before you believe what we believe. We just want you to feel at home. And then eventually, as you take steps, as you figure out your pace with your spiritual journey, eventually we want you to experience that God is close and that faith is relevant, and that there's a group of people here at this church that will walk alongside you in life and you will never regret it. That's what we want for you if you're new here. If you're not new here, think back to when you first began attending. You showed up and you thought to yourself, wow, something is different here. And it's what made you stay. It's what made you come back. It's what made you stick around. That feeling of home. Again, those statements that God feels distant, faith seems irrelevant, church being foreign. It's something the church has battled and something the church has had to fight against for the last 2,000 years, since the first century. And we get to continue that today. Let's continue to be a church that fights for people to feel at home here so that they ultimately feel at home with God, so that they know that he's close, so that they know that faith is relevant. Let's be that kind of church. And then let's watch what God does as he continues to work through us to draw people in this community to him. Let me pray for us. Father, we've all experienced at some point in our lives feeling on the outside of something, feeling excluded, not invited in. But God, when it comes to you, that's a really, really big deal because it's the opposite of what you want us to experience. Thank you for these words of Paul that have been saved through the years that speak directly to this dynamic. And they speak directly to what Jesus did on our behalf in order to break down the walls of hostility, the things that were barriers between us experiencing you. And I pray, God, that each of us in here would experience that God is close, that faith is relevant, and the church can feel like home. And God, we would also look for other people in our lives that we can invite to experience that as well. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.